irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, November 13th. It's beautiful out.
It is.
A little chilly, but we like it. I went out and... Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning.
I went out and bought all new clothes for the winter yesterday.
Well, you have a very nice shirt on today.
Thank you. And check out my jeans.
Looks great. Let's see them.
I got nice jeans.
Oh, there you go.
You see?
What are those, True Religions?
No, I don't spend that kind of money on jeans. These are actually Levi's, but I bought
Levi's are great jeans.
Yeah, And I bought some more expensive ones, but I'm not spending like $150, $200 on jeans, right?
Agreed.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And especially the people that buy like the ripped ones like you get, you know, they don't look new. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not looking for the new
stuff.
No,
I know. But for me, it's like if I buy something, I want it to look new. So that's why I get dark jeans and then they lighten up and stuff. But it's a question of taste, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I know when I was younger, it really mattered what labels and everything. But now I just want it to look good, you know.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, some clothes are very expensive, man. You go to Macy's,
still with all the discounts. I don't know I'm like, where are these people with all of this money? I don't
right.
know any. Anyone.
Well, you have to, I mean, but then there's a lot of sales and stuff too, you know, so
yeah.
they give you a lot of discounts. But then if you start with an expensive item, it's still expensive after they cut the price.
I just remember a few years ago, I was like walking around somewhere in LA in one of those like trendy shops or whatever, and I saw a sweatshirt for $1,000.
Really?
I was like, what?
Wow.
It was so tacky too. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Wow.
Obviously, the store is no longer in business. But
right.
You
know where's a good
why.
Place to go buy clothes is on Melrose. They have small shops and really trendy.
Yeah, I really like those stores,
I
too.
I bought some clothes there before, but you need time. You need time in order to walk around and find the right stuff in that. But
exactly.
It's funny. One time I drove by, and on the mannequin from the car, I saw a jacket that I fell in love with
and
in a split second.
You had to get it?
Yeah, so I got off. I parked, I went, got it, and wouldn't you know that years after, people were still complimenting me on it, you know. So, yeah, you never know.
Mm-mm.
So, how was your weekend, Rachel?
It was good. I worked. I did a shoot yesterday for my friend. She has a cannabis website. And then, yeah, I just worked. My boyfriend had friends in town, so he played tourist.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But this week is going to be fun because after our show, I'm going back to Vegas to attend MJ BizCon, which is like just the weed, weed business convention.
MJ, okay.
Don't
they have one coming up here too or something?
I don't know about anything here, but usually it's in Vegas. I think this is it's in Vegas. They just had High Times this past weekend. Olivia's down there and she won second place for Best Topical, I believe. So congratulations to her.
Was that the Cannabis Cup?
Yeah.
Oh, you went to it?
I didn't go. Olivia went and she entered one of her products
topical?
She won second place. Yeah.
Really?
So she creates award-winning products. She wins a lot of
stuff.
So
what specific did she win it for? What kind of topical?
Second place, best topical. I think it was her melt, which is comes in like CBD and THC, I think.
Okay. And is that like for pain or something? To rub on?
Yeah.
Right?
That's ideally what the topicals are for. Yeah.
Well, I'll have to try it then.
Yeah. So we'll get you some for sure.
Yeah. I'm trying to find something good for my mom.
Yeah.
It seems to work. You know, I got
really
some
does.
For her. Yeah.
I ran out of my, stuff, so I definitely have to get more.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it works, you know. If nothing else works for your pain, try some CBD
right?
topicals. In a few minutes, we're going to receive a call from our guest today, and it's going to be very interesting. Someone who deals with business and growth and that sort of thing, so that would be cool. So you're going to be gone the rest of the week. I'm still looking for people to fill your place, but we'll find someone.
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday
Right. Okay, we'll find someone. No worries.
I mean, no worries. I can help you find someone.
Yeah, I know. That'll be cool. Anyway, did you hear about the earthquake in Iran, Iraq, on the border? They had an
earthquake. I heard about it this morning.
Right.
There was like
a 7.3 earthquake.
Right, and they had over 1,000 aftershocks.
Really? Right? That many?
Over 100 aftershocks. I just saw it on the on the radio.
But nearly 500 people were killed and thousands injured.
And they're telling people to stay outside their homes.
Right. Yeah, that's where you got to be, man. You can't be inside a building because it's not going to be cool for you. Interestingly, some people in Israel said they felt it.
Really?
Know? Yeah. And that's pretty far from there. So it was powerful, man. It was a 7.3, my God. And if you're, and these are places that are not built for earthquakes,
right?
Obviously.
That's why they're telling him to stay out because they don't know.
It's like you've seen totally destroyed buildings, man. Wow. That's scary, man. I hope we don't have to experience one here.
Right.
That's all I say. You know, I mean, we're candidates, aren't
I mean,
we?
They keep talking about it like it's going to be right around the corner, so.
I know. But you know how deep this was? Like 14 miles deep.
Oh, wow.
But that's considered shallow. That's considered shallow. So I guess some of them happen really deep inside. But they're saying, they could feel aftershocks in Pakistan, Lebanon, Kuwait, everywhere, man. Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Poor people, they're showing them crying over their babies, dead kids and stuff. I mean, God.
Yeah,
you know.
Horrible.
What a loss. But, because regardless what you think about Iran or anything, I mean, the people there are just as innocent as we are, I think.
Yep.
And your heart breaks to see these kind of things, you know. It's not very cool.
It's sad.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a good movie. Have you heard anything about The Murder on Orient Express, the new one?
Nope.
No? It's based on an old movie, which was based on a book by Agatha Christie. And it's a pretty good mystery movie. I just don't know if I want to see it or not.
I've been watching Mindhunter. I'm obsessed with it.
What's that?
It's a show that's set, I think, in the 70s. That's about two FBI agents who study the mind of where the concept of serial killer came from.
Right.
And it's, I think it's based on true events, but it's like, you know, these two officers started noticing there's obviously a pattern with, like, where does this come from with all of this anger and this rage and the way that they perform these types of horrific crimes, right?
Right.
So, like, they, I don't know if this is true, but I want to say it's this, something like this must have happened because it's just about these two officers who go around the country studying famous serial killers, interviewing them, asking them, like, where, you know, get to know them, essentially their what from their childhoods may have affected this. Is it environment? Is it something? Are people born born evil or whatever? And they're just linking a lot of it in this movie to, like, you know, the relationship with your parents. Most of these killers who, not every person who has a bad relationship, but it's links back to, like, the family and how, you know, the relationship with your mom and
the dad is abandoned, but we get fucked up when we're kids,
another. And I think this is like the story of how
is this like a drama? I mean, is it fiction or is it like,
well, that's what I don't know if it's based on
people.
Well, they interview,
but they're characters in a movie, right?
Right. Okay. No, in a movie. It's a show on Netflix.
Oh, it's a show.
Yeah,
so
it's a show.
It's ongoing.
Episode. Yeah.
Because I'll tell you why I'm thinking of a movie, because there was a movie, Mindhunter, some time ago.
Yeah,
so
this is a show on Netflix. It just came out. And
it's not based on the movie or anything that you know of? Okay.
No, but it's really good and super interesting and just, it's kind of relevant to, like, a lot of what happens, you know, like, with what's going on in our world today of just, like, why do people,
right,
you know, like,
kill.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's super interesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll have to catch this.
You should. It's all out, so you don't have to wait week by week. Like, it's all released, so you can just sit there and binge it.
Right, mm-hmm. I know. They do come up with them all at once now, right?
Right. So you can, it's so much better that way. That's like how I want to watch Curb. I don't want to watch Curb week by week.
So nobody cares about live TV anymore, huh? Except for news, maybe.
Right.
But there are just so many shows. I go on Amazon TV, and I'm going through everything, and then you have Netflix on there too, and you go, man, where do I start with all these shows? You know, can I commit to weekly shows or multi-episode shows? I don't know, man. That's a lot of TV.
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to check out those 4K TVs, though. Have you ever been able to see one, the picture on them?
The what one?
4K. They're like the highest resolution TVs.
I don't know.
And I would love to. I think I'm. Well, I want to get one, but I don't watch TV, man. Why would I get one? You know, for the news? I don't need that, right?
No.
Yeah. I know. I just love gadgets, man. Have you heard about this machine that makes you vibrate, the whole body vibration thing now?
At the gym?
They have it at the gym, but you can buy it yourself.
Oh, really?
And it's apparently, like, very cool. I got one for my mom, and because apparently this thing is like you stand on it and it vibrates.
Right.
And you can change the vibration, mm-hmm. the intensity, the speed.
Yeah,
and
I've everything. Seen them at the gym.
And this is supposedly like exercise without having to exercise. It does work your muscles. It works on your balance. You know, the ones you buy, you don't have to have handles on them. So you just stand on it like a floor scale or something.
I think it's funny. People just always try to find the easy way out of exercise. But truthfully, the reason why people look great is because they exercise.
No, that's true.
And I've never heard any quick fix other than surgery, which isn't lasting unless you work out and change your diet. So
I just mean, you know, if you don't use your muscles a lot and mm-hmm. stuff, not many people do. Look, I don't work out.
It's going to be just as painful. Painful. I mean, if you
no, but it's not about the pain. It's about, you know, wanting to be out there in the gym.
But it's working your muscles and you're not, it's going to feel like you're working out.
Muscles.
That's what I'm saying.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And, but like for some people, it's perfect because I got it for my parents. They're both on wheelchairs. Right.
They're not going to work out.
No, right. So I put the legs
but
on there.
It keeps them stimulating because you have to keep
exactly
it
in circulation and everything, and plus it's not just the legs, I mean it shakes your whole body,
right?
And I read up on it and stuff, and there's really nothing wrong with it, so you figure if it can't hurt right, why not try it, you know? But it seems to have increased my mom's circulation and everything. My dad's got Parkinson's, so this works his muscles a little bit. And that's it.
That's
Did you
awesome.
Ever try the 23andMe, the DNA thing that they have?
I want one so bad.
Right. It's, they're not expensive. I think it's like $49 or something. And you can find out, you send in for it, they send you a vial that you spit in, you send it back to them, and then they find out for you.
Yeah, my boyfriend did it.
Really? It's like they find out where you come from, and then you can also get an optional one that has all the diseases and stuff that you may have inherited. But apparently it's not what you're gonna have, but you could have it.
Right.
You know. So, like, for example, I don't know. My grandpa had Parkinson's. My dad has got Parkinson's. I'm probably a candidate for it. But
you
what
can
good
test
would
for
it tell
that
me?
Way?
Yeah, but I mean, but what good would it do me to know it? I mean, it's not going to change anything. You know, you got to get checked anyway. So that sucks, man. But yeah. Wish I was back in my 30s. But you know what? I got to admit, my 30s were probably my toughest years.
Really?
Yeah, because I went through depression. And
I feel like my 20s bipolar. Were my toughest years.
Yeah? You see, my bipolar disorder first, took off at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know what I had before that. I didn't even know during it what I had. But it was hard to lead a functioning life, You yeah. know? So it was it's very
weird,
hard.
It's weird because like I felt like for me, that was like my childhood, literally, from to my 20s, and then it was like really once I came off all my medication and just found what I really want to do, like a kind of a focus and a routine.
Right.
That, yeah, I still have my tough days, but like I don't, it's not like anything like what it was. It was almost like I had, you know, when you're a kid, you develop allergies, and I'm not saying like mental illness is anything related to allergies or whatnot, but I just feel that a lot of our behavior as humans is triggered by our environment. A lot of the time.
Right.
Like, I think that there's obviously a something that triggered in our lives that triggers that emotion or that feeling or that situational depression or whatever it is. But like emotions, they all have a peak and then, you know, they
right.
you move on from, you know, they're not everlasting, right?
Right.
Like even if, I mean, the only time I hear people talk about lasting emotions is like dealing with a death, you know, that really never
right.
that
never leaves
really
you.
Never leaves you,
right?
But yeah. as far as everything else that I've ever felt in my life, like I've gotten through those emotions. Wouldn't you say for you too, like you've gotten through motion, they come, they go, you
yeah
know?
of course so, but I think if you can take control of your illness
right.
disorder, whatever, you can lead a very good life,
for sure.
You know. And to me, it was, you're right. Sometimes it's something situational that triggers it.
Right.
And then
it comes out of nowhere.
Right. I mean, you know, that's when I got married for the first time. I had my daughter.
And it can seem like your life is like in a great point, but deep down, like there's
right.
obviously something.
No, a lot of pressure. I mean, that's a lot of pressure to start a family and then to have two kids and everything. And when you have depression or bipolar, man, it's hard to get up for work
yeah.
every day, you know, and I didn't even know why. I just thought it was normal to be that way.
Yeah.
So luckily, that's all I'm saying, man, is that always seek out help, because you never know, you know, there's some tragic stories that happen, but, you know, sometimes you just can't help someone. They don't want to be helped.
Yeah.
You know, and that's part of the depression too. But what can you do with an adult that refuses to be helped? You know, there's not much you can do. And then
I was having this conversation the other day. I think also, you know, now I think we as a society put labels on things for meaning and understanding. And I think for a lot of people, it's hard to fit into a box and into a label, because that's just not, we're not labels, we're not boxes, we're humans, we aren't, you know, perfect creatures or whatever. And I think especially in our country, there's really not, I it's getting better now, but in a lot of places there's not much room for outside the box and outside a label, or you
right.
know, there it just, and I don't know. I think that's why we're seeing the rise of more mental illness, and because it seems as if maybe the ropes are tightening, or it's just, you know, for a while. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is or what the solution is, but I'm just saying that I think that for people to go out and seek out help is really brave, because
right.
we it's still taboo to have to talk about mental illness
right.
for whatever reason.
That's why I'm saying I don't think it's a lot more now. It's just that people reveal it more
right,
now.
Right. And I think
people were,
that's good. And
we're
living in that this awakening moment where now more than ever, that because people are forced to just be like, this is who I am. I'm not going to fit into your box. I'm not going to fit into your label. I'm not perfect. You
right.
know, I'm not my mental illness, but I need help. You know,
yeah.
the world's a tough fucking place. Like, it really
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool to see, you know, especially people who have a platform, you know, celebrities or comedians or whatever. And it's so prevalent in the entertainment industry, but specifically in comedy. I mean, there's just mental illness running rampant,
right.
rampant or
right.
whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that it's cool and brave of you to talk about it on air, because I...
Yeah, I mean, and I can help a lot of people, but some people don't want to be helped, you know, and that's unfortunate. And the reason I'm qualified to help is because I've been through it. I know what it's like, you know. I've been through that fucking hell and back. And it's not fun when you're depressed, man. At any rate, I'm still waiting for a guest to call in.
But I do think what's helped, and I don't know, like, I just think that channeling that emotion into something that brings people, that brings you joy, is what did it for me.
Yeah,
is I finally found comedy, which was a medium, and my Instagram content in cannabis has just like helped me channel my emotions into something that I care about.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think that people are, it's hard enough to, one, get to know yourself and be honest with yourself of like, what is it that makes me happy? Because so many people tell you what you should be in this world.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're having deep talks this morning. True.
That's okay.
I smoked a joint before I came over here. I was like, I'm going to have a meaningful conversation. It's Meaningful Mondays here at Sam in the Morning with Rachel.
If you folks noticed, I just turned down the volume a little bit because I finally realized why we're like so loud and stuff. And we're probably even blurring a little bit. Now we're good. People touch this stuff all the time. But look, I have to agree with you. It's really tough to live through that, you know. And you need support. You need to reach out for people. And that's also why I think in rehab, whatever, whether it's for drugs or even for mental illness or things like this, they always recommend doing it in groups, you know.
Yeah.
Because we're a social animal.
Of course.
You know, and I think often, you know, what happens is when you have a mental disorder and then you treat people like shit or you treat yourself like shit, then you have to deal with that behavior. Mm-hmm. So then you need therapy. You know, so
I it would be cool, and I'm sure some schools do it, but I think that I know it, the responsibility mainly should lie within the parents teaching their kids, you know, how to advocate for themselves, you know, communicate to us if something is wrong, but some homes don't create that environment for their kids.
Right.
So you know, they'll have to learn these behaviors from school, and it would be cool if schools either brought in a therapist or at least like a, you know, to teach kids early on, like advocate for yourself,
yeah,
you
like
know,
how to deal with
or just how to deal with your emotions.
Right.
Like if it was a class just as much as math.
But you
and
know
science.
What? A lot of it has to be done at home, though. Do you really want to leave the school to do that for
but
your
I don't
kids?
Think it's necessary. Not like a school teach it, but coming from like the psychology therapy, you know, because I gotta say, look at some parents. I wouldn't want some parents teaching. You know what I mean? Like,
no, that's
where you
true,
go to school to learn.
Right, but why?
I would feel safer. Not government.
No, but why associate it with school, though? I mean, why not just get regular therapy for
your kid? Because I think that's the perfect place to practice interpersonal skills. They're already with their peers, you know, they're all with different kinds of backgrounds, different kinds of people. You're exposed to that. And when you're exposed to that, that's where you really learn from such a young age. Right. Why not? It's a perfect place to learn
that. I wonder whether, you know, the doctors in the school or the nurse or whatever, whether they're trained
not necessarily
to detect
doctors,
mental
but
illness.
When I took an interpersonal communications class. It doesn't even need to be like from
I
a therapy.
I see what you mean. Okay.
It's just like, think about when kids, after they graduate from college, they're pushed off into the real world, and oftentimes they get into their first jobs.
Right.
But they only have experience communicating with their friends, maybe their peers in their class, but like, what if they possessed, you know, like real life, like as soon as they got there, they knew how to, you know, they knew how to handle the emotions behind.
But how can you teach them without them going through
it? I'm talking about from such a young age, just basic, like how to advocate for yourself, not necessarily change their psychology, but just, this is what emotions are. This is sad. This is just basic stuff that you would learn in like a basic therapy 101. And it's not anything super serious, but like a lot of these kids aren't taught even what they don't even know how to identify the emotions that they're having. Right. That is such a valuable skill to be like, okay, when you're upset, this is anger. To be able to recognize anger, that's the first step in how to, you know, a lot of people aren't taught that.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Just like a math and a science and a whatever, why not just incorporate these other skills, which are just interpersonal skills, that if they learn them at a young age, I'm telling you, would probably benefit. And meditation. Okay, you're frustrated. Here's what you do when you're frustrated. Go take the time, because that's going to happen in real life. You're going to need 5 minutes to kind of just before you react. You know, imagine if kids were taught that at a young age, it would probably benefit them, you know.
Why don't you advocate for that then?
I just think that I do. I mean, I advocate my own way, but the type of therapy that I've gone to is DBT, is dialectical behavior therapy. It's basically self-talk, right? And they're saying they are starting to teach self-talk and meditation in schools. And they're noticing a huge change. Just teaching kids these skills of like how to handle the emotion and to recognize it. I mean, that's such a valuable skill, I would think.
Yeah. Makes sense. Makes sense to me, man. You know, we talk about... And a related topic, and I wanted to bring this up, is Aaron Hernandez. And if you remember,
Football player that hung himself, he had the most severe case of CTE
is what they call it.
I mean, like when you're playing a sport like football and you are constantly having your head, hit at, it's only obvious you're going to long-term develop some sort of either brain disease or, you know.
Well, but they never, it seems like logical now, but if it did before, they wouldn't have gone on for like decades and decades.
Well, here's the thing.
So it's just like.
They would. Our country loves football.
Right.
It does not matter. It does not matter.
But it will matter now, because when this becomes like...
Maybe since they're talking about it.
So that's what I'm saying,
yeah. Maybe since they're talking about it. But that's the thing, is like, I don't think anyone realized the link between the two until, like, you know, with the link between the brain damage and the helmets and the constant hitting.
Maybe they didn't want to admit it, you know?
Half of it might be true, too, again, because you know how much this country loves football.
But I always thought it was a crazy sport,
to some people, in the South, it's... football and God.
Right.
You know?
No. I mean, I know that. I know they do tailgating and all that shit, but...
It's beyond that. That entire town has. But,
right.
It's all that town
has. It's an American sport, you know, so that's why this country embraces it. You go in other countries, they don't really have this kind of football. So, but the thing is that they're realizing also, and it's not new, that kids in high school already are, like, dropping dead from this stuff. You know, I mean, brain damage, and you have to wonder why Aaron Hernandez, well, he could have had depression that was undetected, but for him to hang himself in jail after he killed somebody, or wasn't he, like, involved in killing somebody, or did
I think he did.
Pull the trigger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, he was 27 years old when he hanged himself, man. So he had a stage 3 CTE, and stage 4 is the most severe.
That's pretty crazy.
But they're saying that they can't make a connection really between his pathology and his behavior. He says we can't connect the dots. You know, but they pointed out, you know, there's those areas affected in the brain were the ones controlling memory, judgment, and emotion. Mm-hmm. Fuck, man. He probably, like, didn't even know what the hell he was doing. That's sad, man.
Yeah.
You know? So, what else is going on? All the sexual abuse stuff is coming out, continuing to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that Wonder Woman Gal Gadot said she's not going to stay Wonder Woman as long as that guy, whatever his name is, who abused... I can't remember who, but he's in the production. He's maybe a producer or something of the show.
Yeah.
Maybe executive producer. She said, if he doesn't get off the show, I'm not doing any more of these movies.
Good for her.
So, so people said, cool, you know, she's speaking out. And I mean, a lot of stuff is coming out now.
I've started to receive texts of concern from some of my friends in other places, like, now that everything's, like,
because, like, Hollywood.
They're like, wow, like,
but that's just because we chose Hollywood, there. But and, it's everywhere, you know, and, in the workplace.
Well, I think they're regarding, like, Louis C.K. specifically, like, once that came out because of female comedians, and it's just, like, known, and I was like, yes. I was like, if I get to a point where I'm propositioned for something like that, that's when I know I've made it, or I'm at least I'm on my way, you know? Because everyone who got propositioned, pretty much, you know? What? I guess that's not true. A lot of them kind of hid or you never saw them again. Like, a lot of the women that were famous during that time, because they were too afraid, or maybe they came forward and they got silenced.
Right.
Their careers were ruined.
But imagine how many went through with this stuff, you know, because they wanted to.
Well, that's
to
the thing. There's
career.
A bunch of women who will probably have never, who will never say anything,
right,
because
right.
There are women who most of us don't want that, but there are some women who don't care. You
right,
know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's they realize it's a man's world, and for them, if that's, you know, they're going to take one for the team or whatever it is. But that shouldn't be the case, you know?
Yeah.
And it's sad that that's even, this is still even a thing.
Right. No, and that's the thing, though, is that that it does happen in this country still. It's pretty sad, you know, I think. Because it comes from viewing women as objects, you know? As like, I don't think it has anything to do personally with the person. It's just like, oh, this is something that I can exploit for my own pleasure. And it's not, they don't think this is a person with feelings, you know, you're going to create a trauma in her life, whatever, you know, or
yeah,
in his life,
it's
you
just
know.
Crazy. Emotionally just lack. For me, that's like a disorder. If you can't acknowledge that females are human beings, that there's, you know, if you are the type of man who can't even, like, you are not an evolved person. You
right.
are you're a degenerate. I mean, like, you're not built right. You are less than if you can't recognize that. To me, you are less than. And,
yeah. No, absolutely. That's what it comes from.
If you are lacking if you're lacking the basic intelligence, you know, then that's what I'm saying. We got to teach people at a young age. We got to ingrain them in children, like, interpersonal skills, how to treat other people, how to deal
and
with people.
That comes
people.
From home. That
but
comes
that's
from
the thing
home.
Is like,
no,
at home,
listen,
you don't, it doesn't though. Because
but listen, there's
look
a, lot
a lot
of great,
look,
educated, cool, polite, respectful people.
But what I'm saying is,
that
you look
at home.
I'm thinking, when I think of home, I'm thinking of school. I'm thinking public school, and I'm thinking, like, not many people came from as good a parents that you had and that I had, and parents that, and my parents were busy. They also didn't teach me interpersonal skills and shit like that. They didn't have the time to do that. I mean, basically
it's not
did,
about
but
teaching, but you can sample.
But I mean, what I'm saying is, the school is where you go to learn and gain knowledge, and it doesn't necessarily, we think it means math and science, but it also needs to be
interpersonal
skills. Well,
excuse me, I just don't
skills.
Want the government to teach my
it's
kids
not,
how to be a
good
person.
Schools aren't always government.
The school,
private.
It doesn't matter. It's still, I don't need other people to teach my kids how to be good human beings. I think that's my responsibility. But
you're
know.
Also, you're not everyone's parent, and you can't speak for all parents.
No, I'm
a lot
not.
Of parents, a lot yeah. of kids are the parents.
No, well,
you know what I mean? A
okay,
lot of,
well, that's their fortune. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, to create something institutional like this doesn't make sense. But look, I respect what you say. There's a lot of strength to what you say. I'm not saying. I'm just giving my side of the story. That's all. I do support you that the schools do need to pick up some more.
Just
but
something.
How? They don't pay them enough. You know what I'm saying?
But that's not even the point. It's not about not paying them enough. It's
but
an
you
indig-
need a budget for this stuff, you know, for experts, for professionals in the
it's
school.
It's not even professional. It's just basic what anyone can teach it. Meditation, you don't need a professional. A teacher can guide guided meditation during nap time.
No, meditation's, you know what I mean? Fine, yeah. But,
Interpersonal skills, communications, that's not an expert. I had a professor in college teach interpersonal communication. That's right. Not something that you need experts on. It's just right. Like another course, math, science, reading.
Right.
Interpersonal communication.
Yeah. No,
they
I
teach
agree.
It also... like when you get a job in corporate America, they do bonding exercise. They teach the same stuff when you get jobs because they realize you're going to be working with a small, diverse group of people. You're going to need to know how to communicate with them, and you need, you know, and that's the thing is, like, imagine if we just taught that when we were younger, and that didn't even, you just grew up knowing that, okay, you may look physically different than me, but we are the same.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Or just basic, and or I'm upset right now. This is not a personal thing. This is a work thing. I need to go take 5 minutes. You know, imagine if people already knew that. So they didn't have to come back and shoot up a whole school. Or they didn't have to come and, you know, shoot up a whole workplace when they got upset. If they learned how to handle emotions, I think the world would be a better place.
Yes, it would be.
You got to learn when you're young. It's easier to. Yeah. You know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Not to say that can't happen. But imagine if we learned at a young age a lot, you know, just how to treat people.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's definitely...
And I do think it does need to come... I do think a lot of parents do a good job with that. I think you'd be a great... Yeah, you're a great father.
But
there are not all,
I mean,
parents are like you.
No, but they... Just like you're saying, schools should be a certain way. I'm saying parents should be a certain way.
Yeah.
And if they're bad parents... They're bad parents, you know, and
but that's why it's almost like the school would be a backup, like a another.
I
support
agree. Look,
place.
on some things,
think about it. The kids
room.
Kids go to and spend 8 hours more time in a day at school than they do
at
with
home,
their family.
Yeah.
So think about, you know.
I think about it. So continuing in the news, I guess our president is in Asia still. Have you heard anything unusual going on there? I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot of stuff.
He called the president of the Philippines, the Duterte or whatever. Uh-huh. Duterte, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Who's like...
Duterte, I guess.
Who is notorious for like rounding up drug users and killing them, I think. That's what he does with them.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure that's what he does, but Trump called him and like congratulated him on that.
Really?
And it's like drug users aren't... I mean, yes, because drugs are a crime in this country, depending on what part of the country you live in and depending on what drug. But to round them up and kill them or put them in jail is not the problem. Is not the answer. Well, also, you saw the tweet that he put out. Tell me you saw the tweet he put out about Kim Jong-un yesterday.
No, I did not.
Oh, my God. It's so embarrassing. Pull it up.
Really?
Pull it up right now. It's literally so embarrassing because he just sounds like a middle school girl. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, well...
He basically said that Kim Jong-un called him old, so he's not going to call him fat and lazy.
Is that what it was?
Basically,
okay, so they're like a pissing contest sort of thing, right?
Well, basically,
Trump. Okay, so
he said it went viral.
Yeah,
he said.
Yeah, you write something about why would Kim Jong Un insult me by calling me old
when I would never call him short and fat. Oh well, I try so hard to be his friend, and maybe someday that will happen. It's just so embarrassing, like to know that possibly a nuclear war could be started simply because Donald Trump's a fucking idiot. I mean, it's just kind of laughable at this moment that how complicit the House and I know they're just waiting on Mueller to. We're just waiting on Mueller to finish up his investigations. Unfortunately, these things take time because there's so much information and so much shit that has gone on that he has to make sure all of his ducks are in a row before he can drop the bomb, basically.
Right.
And I know that's simply what we're just waiting for, and Congress and the House can't do that. But, I mean, meanwhile, over the weekend, they just... who did they elect? Some 36-year-old who's never... for a position that's like a lifetime position?
Homeland Security? No, HHS. HHS, that's the Health and Human Services.
No, there's a judicial, like some, either a judge or something, just like the young, some young guy who's like 36, never done any. I mean, it's just, it's laughable because even when we get Trump, when I say when we, because we are going to, Trump is not going to finish out four years. I don't think that. But when we get him out of office, the people that he's put in place, we're still going to have to deal with them.
Right.
You know, yeah. The unqualified people that he's put into place.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, it's sad. I mean, we're not here in California. We're not directly necessarily feeling the effects of Trump other than having to get up every day and have to read the horribleness and just, you know, and I was on my way over here. I was listening to Joe Biden did one of those like town hall meetings or something, and a woman got up and asked him, you know, how do you, because she lost two sons to a gun shooting,
right.
And she asked him, like, how do you deal with the loss of a child? And it was just so refreshing to just hear a coherent politician, one, show compassion, but genuinely just like it felt good hearing him talk, you know, like I just, even if he wasn't Biden, even McCain, just hearing someone coherent who was a
yeah.
who,
no, Biden is a good man in my opinion.
You should have heard him. It almost made me cry because I was like, this is what our country, we need someone like him. We need right. someone who knows how to talk to people right. and not alienate them and make them feel uncomfortable, especially after they lost a child. You know what I mean? Like,
and it's all about Trump, you know, I mean, it's like everything's just about
him. It's about him. It's like he is the leader of the free world. That means representing black, white, Latino, purple, Jewish, Muslim, whatever we have in this country, you represent that, whether you like it or not. And it shouldn't even be an issue whether you like it or not. You should love all of us. You're the leader of our country. You have a responsibility to take care of all of us. Well, and if you don't love all of us, then you aren't the right person for our country.
Right, right. And that's also an unfortunate fact that we tend to elect the ones that we know, the celebrities. And that sucks, you know, that sucks. That's not a way to elect people. But we tend to go with who we know, you know, whether they're shit or not. But, yeah. You know, he definitely
The best
shown.
Part was this weekend was when Trump was like, I had a discussion with Putin and I believe him. He did not hack our elections. Meanwhile, all 17 of our agencies, intel agencies, are like, yes, they did.
Right.
And then Putin is like, I didn't talk to Trump about it over the weekend. You know, it's just like, who, what planet is he living in? It's the upside down. I mean, it's the upside down and we're all just here, you know, trying to navigate. So Putin said that he didn't even have that conversation. He's a liar.
Yeah.
I think the thing is like Putin knows that
did
Putin
we know?
Caused. Well, Putin is aware that we know, but he is thoroughly enjoying watching us, kind of like we're like his little toys. You know what I mean? Like he can fuck. Mm-hmm. He has Trump by the balls for whatever information he has on Trump.
Right.
Like he's like fucking with us. It's right. like. He watches America be like, they but colluded with us.
I don't know if it has to do getting Trump by the balls, though. I mean, they're able to do this for a million reasons. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
he could have done it with or without Trump.
Right.
But I do think that he has gotten Trump in some, you know, that whole dossier where there's like potential information, you know, like I think he's seen Trump pee on some girls or I don't know, some something he has to know something.
Yeah, but
or like
no evidence
maybe it's
for
like
that,
a bet. You know? Well, we have the dossier that has proving to be true. I mean, parts.
What's in the dossier?
The Russian hooker thing, the media, like a bunch of information about the relationship between Russia and the collusion between the elections. Like they had this dossier that was made and they're just releasing information that they are proving to be true as time goes on. So it's like this happened for sure. They found out the U.S. intelligence agencies, and then they refer back to this dossier that's like, okay, here's another thing that happens.
So how did they get a hold of this dossier now?
They had someone, a spy or someone, mm-hmm. write it down. This is what the whole Comey thing was. Like, this is like someone extracted this information somehow.
Well, we'll see how it turns out. For now, it's just you know,
they're fine. Well, they keep finding out like parts of it. They keep proving parts of it to be true until they can fully be like, yeah, this whole thing is a fucking true thing. You know, I think that they're honestly, they just need that tape, the pee-pee tape.
Yeah.
There, maybe Putin has the pee-pee tape.
You really would like to see something like that.
Honestly, like,
huh?
It would be hilarious. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't we all be just like, okay, like.
Yeah. It doesn't have to go that far in order, I think, for
Well, the
us
other
to
fucked
realize.
Up thing is, hopefully not, but it might have to. I mean, look at how far it's come, and we're like, enough, all right, you know, isn't this enough? We've proven that he lies to us. Yeah, I mean, the whole Roy Moore thing, that's sad. The Alabama.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like
allegations.
It's not all Republicans. It's that certain group, the Trump publicans. It's just that group of, because even John McCain or Mitch McConnell is like, I believe those women.
Right.
He needs to step down. Right. You know, like.
Yeah.
It's just.
I mean, it's decency. You know, it's human decency. I think you're right. And Trump doesn't have that. He doesn't have human decency.
He's hijacked the Republican Party.
And he's against everybody. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's his enemy. He doesn't really have friends. You know? Even the people that work for him, I think, can't stand him. It's just they you know, they get some position in the government and at school. But the bottom line is, I don't see him having many friends at all. You know, he's like against everybody. And that's... And you can't run a government like this, you know. And we do need to at least look united to the rest of the world when we try to negotiate serious deals with them.
But that's the other thing, too, is you're absolutely right. Like, other countries are looking at us and are like, this country is divided now more than ever. Like, they hate their leader.
Right.
You know, they can, like you said, even people working with him can't even stand him. You know, his own party, most of it doesn't even want to be associated with him, but he's hijacked,
right.
You know, the party.
He's hijacked
and
the whole fucking
our
country,
whole political
man.
Democracy is in a crisis like never been seen, Democrat and Republican. And it's like other countries are like, whoa, you know what I mean? It's like seeing, you know, your mentor, like someone you put on a pedestal, have a meltdown, you know, and you're uncomfortable because you don't know what to do. You know, it's like, what do you do?
True. All right, folks. As you noticed, our guest did not call yet once again. This was a second opportunity.
They stood us up.
So I don't know what's going on. You know, I mean, she said she tried to call, but it never came through. So I don't know what the story is with today. I tested everything beforehand. But at any rate, hopefully we were able to entertain you, keep you thinking
hopefully.
A little bit. Yeah. And thank you for giving us of your time, folks. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.